The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey, welcome back to the Bright Side, and this is issue 49, Amazon Prime's Carnival Row. John and I really love this show, and even though it took multiple takes to get this podcast put together, we found a way to do it. See if you guys can pick up on the edits, because we had internet problems, we had hardware issues, it was a disaster. But we put it together as best we could, and John even sent us a little message for me to tag on at the end. So let's get into the store and listen to all of the fun. Hey, John, how are we doing this week?
I'm doing awesome, DJ. How are you?
I'm doing good. Bright and early on a Monday morning.
Yeah.
We'll play that game again. Before we get to anything else, I'm really looking forward to this episode.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why is that?
We'll get into more of it, but this Carnival Row, this really blew me away.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
Spoiler alert right there. I've been looking forward to doing this since I finished the show, and we'll get into more of that later, in really soon. FOC.
Yeah.
What was that that one that you said, the one of the last ones, it was Art Germ?
The Vampirella number 4?
Is that the Art Germ one? Yeah.
Yeah.
That was really, really nice. I went right to the Francisco Martinez.
Yeah.
Love those. Both of them.
Yeah, they're both very well done.
Yeah. What was the Batman one with the Bane?
Yeah.
And that was really, really nice. I love that line, that like neon green.
Yeah.
And, but then what was the other one? Well, I see what it is, but I'm like, what book is that?
The Mattina? Justice League. He did Justice League. Yeah. Justice League 34, I believe.
Okay.
And I think it was Batman 81. And then, both of those were Mattina covers.
Yeah, and then the Vampirella one
that one just blows me away.
Yeah.
Like, Art Germ has done so many covers that I've liked in the past. I really liked a lot of the Catwoman covers that he did.
Yeah.
And even some of the Supergirl covers that he did. But this just blows me away. Like, I think
it's darker.
Almost another level for him.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's even just transcended his own artwork in a way, because this is such a beautiful cover.
I remember one of the Supergirls, didn't we say that kind of had like an anime feel to it?
Yes, a couple of them.
It was
do.
Very bright, very, yep. You know, very, this one here, the Vampirella, it's more realistic. It's more, yes. It's a darker, you know, even her costume is more of a maroon.
Yes.
Almost like a maroon purplish, maybe.
It's a little
red.
Muted. Yeah, yeah, the colors are a little muted on this.
Well, see, I don't know if I would use muted, because it's still vibrant. It's just darker. It's a darker scene. Do you know what I mean? It's not like it's a dull scene, you know?
No, but it's like a dusk scene. Like, it's,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a really, really nice cover.
Yeah.
Do we have anything else? Let's get to this.
All right.
All right, let's get to it. What are we on now? Issue 49?
Yes, 49.
49. All right, let's get into issue 49. Carnival Row.
Yeah.
About you. A man's no better than the pain he's caused the people he loves and what he's willing to do to set it right. This is where we come
along. All right. You recommended this to me, and you yes. told me, you're like, you didn't say I wasn't going to like it.
I said, I know that this show is not in your wheelhouse because it's a Lord of the Rings type of fairy land yeah. type of story. And you have said multiple times that that's not your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
But I said that I really thought that you would like it.
Yeah. So that gets me into, remember last Wednesday, Thursday. When it came out on Thursday, maybe our listeners heard our little bit of, we still had the tiff going a little bit later on in the podcast.
A little bit. I was a little riled up.
So you got to look, but what they don't know and what you don't know is why we were riled up and why I was riled up.
I know why.
Why? See, you don't. I love this show. And what we were debating is, and it wasn't, I didn't think it was going to be a debate. So a peek behind the curtain before we started the show last week, I had said, let's do a lot of spoiler free when we get to Carnival Row.
Yep.
And you were like, I don't even know why we do that. And
I disagree. Yes.
Exactly. No, you're not disagreeing with what I'm saying right now, right? That's depiction and impression.
That is accurate, yes. I agree with what you're saying.
Okay.
I disagree with the sentiment that we should do any of this show spoiler free.
Right. You want to just do spoiler free, spoilers off the bat. And it's like, and I get what you're saying. And it's like, just let people know. It's like, look, you're listening to it. That's what it is. Well, here's the thing. You had said when you recommended this TV show that Jen would really like it. My wife, she
yes.
didn't like the first episode.
Okay.
And honestly, I didn't really like it either. I was like, it's kind of, and I was going in with the premise that you told me that it's not in my wheelhouse, but I had told you that I would do the show and we would, you know, we would watch the show and we would do an episode on it.
Yeah.
So I powered through, and as every episode in this show, after every episode, it grew and grew and grew, and the story grows and grows and grows.
Yeah.
Well, get to the end of it, and the emotion that I felt for this show, I want to be able to describe to people spoiler free, because I have a feeling a lot of people aren't watching this show. And I want to be able to portray that so people do watch the show. If they can listen to us, and that's why. And then when you said, I don't even know why we do that, I think we kind of like butted heads, because I was like internally, I was upset. I'm like, no, because here's the thing I said to my wife. I go, do me a favor, because I told her I want to watch this show again. And I said, watch it with me. And I told her, I go, I really think you're going to like it. Yeah. And she goes, I don't really like that. I didn't like the first one. I didn't understand it. I go, neither did I, but you will. And I said, do me a favor. I go, listen to our episode next week. This was last week. I'm telling her, I go, listen to our episode on Monday. If the just listen to the spoiler free part. If that doesn't get you, then you won't, don't listen to it. But I think we can talk spoiler free. Lo and behold, you opened the show last week with, I don't know, you know, obviously we weren't recording. You're like, I don't know if we should do that. I'm like, no, we gotta do that. I didn't want to.
So you only want to do it It's not because you think it makes for a better show. It's just
you
can coerce your wife into watching the show.
Not at all. Not at all. I want
that's
to
what I heard just now.
No, that's an example. That's one example. I want to do it for everybody because I don't think a lot of people are watching this show. It's Carnival
Row. It was
Row
the
on
most
Amazon.
Watched show on Amazon Prime.
Is it?
So, yeah. Right now it is, yes.
I haven't heard a lot of talk about it, though. So I don't know how many of our listeners have watched it. I've only heard a couple of little bit of chatter here and there.
Yeah.
And
Well, it's not going to get – it's not like a wide release like a Netflix. Like,
right.
I don't think Amazon Prime in general has as many viewers as like a Hulu
right.
or a Netflix.
Exactly.
So,
but Amazon Prime is pretty – it's
although, yeah, I mean, a lot of people, I mean, a lot of people have it for the shipping, if nothing else, but I don't know how many people are watching all of
this
show.
I would say this show is worth, if you don't have Amazon Prime, I would say this show is worth getting Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
For this show alone. And I mean, there's a lot of other content on there too, But let's get into the show away from my explanation. I feel like this is the next Game of Thrones. I feel
it
that strongly about it.
It's, yeah, it might be. It was really a, it was a very strong, first season. You know, and it was renewed for season two before season one even aired. So
yeah.
The execs obviously felt pretty strongly about it after, you know, after having seen the, I guess, you know, after they got to see the season or even part of the season. I don't know what they saw when they made their decision, but, you know, in this day and age of, you know, shows not making it past half a season without being canceled, to have a two season commitment before the season even airs.
Right.
Which, you know, they had a lot of faith in it. You know, you could tell that they, you know, thought it was going to be something. And, you know, everybody says that, right? Like, as much as people griped about the end of Game of Thrones and everybody talks about how, you know, they ruined it with the end, everybody's still looking for their next Game of Thrones. Like, that's the show that everything is measured against. Because how many times since Game of Thrones has ended have you heard that phrase? You know?
Right.
Everybody's looking for it. And Amazon actually has two shots at it because they have Carnival Row and they also have the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Series coming. So they've got the biggest, you know, but if you look at, you know, we talked briefly last Thursday about Apple TV and, the Jason Momoa show C. I mean, they're also talking about that being the next Game of Thrones. So, like I said, that's a phrase that's getting thrown around a lot.
Yeah.
Right now.
Because everybody's looking for that.
Right.
But I really felt like with the depth of this show, the depth of the characters, I actually, personally, just, I know it's just one season. I actually liked this better than I liked Game of Thrones season one.
Well, the thing that impressed me the most.
It's a slow starter.
It is, but, well, so was Game of Thrones. Season one was fairly slow to start too.
They had a couple of grabbers though in the first couple episodes where I didn't feel this one does.
Well, yeah, this one didn't throw a little kid off a balcony in episode one, while the guy was having sex with his sister. So, you know, that right away. But what impressed me the most about this show and actually made me start doing some research halfway through is how deep this world in this show was for something that is based on nothing. Like, there is no novel. There is no comic book. There is no source material for this show. It was created as a TV show. So, I think to be that deep after first season, you know, for something that, like I said, was, I don't want to say made up on the fly, because obviously they put some time into it. But usually these things, you know, everything you see these days is always, it's always based on, it's based on something.
Right.
There's always source material to reference, and this has nothing. They did release two comic books to go along with this season, but they were written based on the show.
That's our tie-in.
Right. But those comics were based on the show. It was not the other way around.
Yeah.
And it was really just a, you know, each comic, there was two issues. One was based on Philo and the other one was based on a vignette. And it was just kind of like their immediate history before episode one. So it was like a little prequel story for each one of them. Like I said, in no way was this show based on those comics. So I was really impressed with how deep this got, you know, for basically a brand new property. There really is a lot of depth to this story.
It only gets deeper.
As it goes on.
But at the end of it, you're like, the final episode uncovers so much more.
Yeah.
You know, that it's like you thought there was depth before that.
Right.
And you're like, this is just, it's amazing. And what about all the subliminal stuff? I don't even know if subliminal is the word. It's basically a reflection of what society is, of different issues in society.
Right.
I don't want to get into them here.
This is,
but it is just so powerful.
It's very relevant. There's lots of allegories to current day, you know, politics and, you know, kind of the state of the world.
Yeah, but people. I wouldn't say politics in the legitimate politics.
No, but
I mean,
there are definitely, you know, there are undertones of, you know, immigration and racism and classism.
Yeah.
And, you know, and lots of things that, you know, are prevalent in our society today that are mirrored in this. I don't think this was written to be a statement necessarily.
Well, it's making one, right? But, I think, and it's.
But I don't know if it. I don't know if it was written to be a political piece, but there are definitely familiar themes.
Yes,
you know that take
well,
place.
Well, much in the way like X-Men, where right. you know, same idea, but I think this is way more. It's just right up in your face, and it yeah. and it's so like, you know, you just want to. It's sad.
Yeah.
But it's true, and it's you know I mean we'll get into more of it in spoilers obviously, but I don't know I mean what I can't express enough how much it grows though. It's like it does start slow. I'll give it that. It's like by episode three, I would say episode three really picks up. Episode four goes a little bit of a lull there, but then I think from 5, 6, 7, and 8 it really just. You're more hooked in.
Well, I think that because this had no, like there was no built-in audience for this that had come, that like I said, that were coming from books or anything like that.
Right.
Like there's definitely a setup period. You know, like this has some world building that happens in the first couple of episodes. And I guess I didn't find them to be as slow as you did. But I kind of felt the same way with Harry Potter, you know, when I watched that. Like,
right.
Like, I was kind of on board from episode one, but I do, you know, I acknowledge that there's some buildup that happens because
yeah.
they're setting the stage and they're telling you the world that this story's taking place in. And, but I just don't know how else you do it if you don't do that, you know?
No,
you
I have, know. I
like,
know.
That's all stuff that kind of has to be there. And I don't want to say you just have to suffer through it because it's not like it's terrible that you have to suffer to watch
right.
it. But really in most things, like did a brand new, you know, you have to suffer through the first episode or two because
well,
you don't know what the story, like you don't know what the setup is.
You know? You know what I thought was interesting is you told me that it isn't in my wheelhouse. I went into
well, only
it,
because you
well,
always
no,
say that.
No, I know, but it isn't. It's fantasy. You know, right. It's like Harry Potter's not my wheelhouse, and this is.
I would argue that now it is your wheelhouse.
Yeah, exactly.
Because most of this stuff you end up liking.
Right.
So.
But here's the point I was making is that, so going into it, I know, I already have that preconceived notion or that prejudice that this isn't in my wheelhouse.
Right.
But I tried to keep an open mind and work my way through it. Right. That's what this show is about, is prejudice. And
yeah.
having an open mind and like the entire show is, and so I'm watching the show and as it grew on me and I understood more. So as I'm understanding more about the show, my ignorance is going away and I'm understanding and liking the show more. And what's going on in the show, we'll get into it in spoilers, but there's a part of the show where there's some ignorance going away and they're starting to like something. And I see you smiling. You know what I'm talking about, but. That's what the show is based on. And
yeah.
I just thought the irony of you, the dichotomy of you and I in this, and then the show and what it's about. And that's why I was like, I really want Jen to see it. I want people to see it because I just think it's that powerful of a show that it's just like, I just think it really like spoke to me, quotation
yeah.
fingers. And that's why I was like, I couldn't wait to talk about this with
you. See, and that's, I'm glad, like, cause I wasn't sure, cause we haven't spoken about it.
No.
Since I told you to watch it.
Yeah.
I had no idea how you felt about it. I'm
yeah.
surprised that you liked it that much, honestly, because I know that it's not something that you normally,
yeah.
you know, really get into. I'm glad you liked it though, cause like I said, I thought it was great. I liked it. Of course, that is in my, like, this whole fantasy genre is my wheelhouse anyways.
Right,
like,
right.
I love all that stuff, so I'm more predisposed to liking all
right.
of this stuff anyways.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm, like I said, I'm glad that you liked it.
Yeah. So, alright, you want to get into spoilers now? Is that enough? Did we do enough spoiler free? Is that okay?
I mean, any spoiler free is enough for me, so yeah, I'm ready. I don't know if there should be any, so.
I know. All right, why don't you go lock the door, and we'll talk
all
spoilers.
Right.
If you don't want to listen, door's closed. If you want to stay in, stay in.
Yep.
All right, so spoilers.
Yeah.
So, do you want to jump right to the part where the brother and sister are having sex? Because you said that in spoiler free about Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And it was so funny. I almost jumped at it like, well, they kind of do, but they saved it for the end.
Right.
And it's like, when they said that, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
That was, we'll jump around like we always do. That was episode 8.
Yeah. That wasn't until the end. Yeah. And,
well, maybe,
you know,
7.
Obviously he didn't know, but she was pretty sure all along and just didn't care.
And she was, she didn't care because, and I loved her explanation for it though too.
Yeah.
She rationalized the hell out of that.
Powerful people do what they want to do.
Do you really think this is the first time this has happened in the history of our families? No. And she's right, you know, cause that's how people would think.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just.
Well, if you go back in time, like royal bloodlines, it happened a lot, because how you kept the bloodlines pure.
Look at the Targaryens.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. And we know how that turned out. So.
Yeah. Wonderfully.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of parallels with Game of Thrones here.
There were some.
But you're writing a story like this, you're going to have that. But I think this is an original story.
It is. Yeah.
I forget exactly what the names of each one of them are. Like, so what was the name of the fairies? Was it Fae?
Well, the fairies, I think, were just the Fae.
The Fae. That's right.
Yeah.
Fae. And then the ones with the horns were like,
they're fauns, but they were called, called pucks.
Yeah. Okay. I thought, maybe I'm wrong, but I thought the pucks were like, they were using that for anything that wasn't a man, wasn't human. But maybe you're right. You know what I mean?
Well, they might have. That might be. It might have just been a derogatory term for basically all the the immigrants. But I thought it was more directed towards.
It may have been
the fauns, because I'm trying to remember if I ever heard them call any of the fairies a puck, and I don't remember if they did or not.
Yeah.
So
probably not, because the fauns were more. And pucks, they were more prevalent in the city because they were everywhere. They were being utilized as
indentured servants. Yeah, they were the slave labor.
Yeah,
they were building the bridges and
right. And you know. Well, I guess the fays were too, because
right. But the fays were basically the prostitutes.
They were the prostitutes.
That's all you saw them.
But Vignette was a housemaid at the beginning.
Right. Well. Because they were, it was kind of like, I mean, again, this really draws so many parallels to, like, human history, right? Because,
right.
You know, they're, you know, the story starts off with them, you know, the fairy homeland, being at war. You know, Vignette is actually like a runner. She's trying to help other fairies escape to the mainland. She gets them to the ship to transport them basically to the human world. But it's kind of like, you know, you see nowadays, like they'll get passage, on the ship, but it's not free. Like they have to pay for their passage.
Right.
And they pay for their passage by becoming indentured servants in the new world. And this is what happens to Vignette. You know, she finds herself on a ship. And to pay for her passage, she gets assigned to be a servant in a household.
Right.
For, what's her name? Imogen.
Yeah, Imogen, her name in itself is ironic. Because
Imogen Spurnrose?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But her name Imogen, and it's like, there's one time when towards the end, I think it might have been an episode, it's either 6 or 7, and she's getting yelled at, and because she's, I don't know if it's, basically she's all about image, and her name's Imogen, which is pretty cool. And as that story goes, let's talk about her story arc. It's like, that was one of my favorite ones.
Yes.
And that's the one that I had referenced back in, spoiler free, in that she's basically the epitome of ignorance at the beginning. She's all about image.
Right.
And
Her and her brother both.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, it's all about keeping up appearances. You
right.
Know?
Which, and well, it, not just them. It's that's everybody. That's well, everybody right. in this town. Everybody in this
well,
city.
Well, and in that part of the in that part of the society that that they circulate in. You
yes.
know.
Yeah. And, well, and that's all we see. Yeah. That's
they're like the upper crust, and you know the snotty. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The way her story arc, I mean, just to stay on her for a minute, because, I mean, I think she epitomizes the rest of the city of that kind.
Right.
And, but their ignorance and everything and not, you know, there were times that she didn't even want to know anymore. And
right.
other characters were like that as well. They didn't want to know. I don't need to know anymore about those pucks.
Right.
You know, and people would say, like, who knows what they're doing? Well, if you don't know, and that's where all that ignorance comes from. But as she grew to understand him and learn more about him, she grew to like him and then
right.
obviously grew to love him.
Yes.
I mean, I just thought that was a great story arc in the middle that you kind of don't see coming. But as it goes on, it really takes on a life of its own.
Yes.
And then you still have the other story with Vignette and Philo.
Philo, right.
Yeah, Philo played by Orlando Bloom, of course.
Yeah, it was sort of a secondary, it was kind of like, I don't want to say it was a throwaway storyline, but it was definitely like a secondary storyline that wasn't part of the main narrative of the, I mean, obviously your main characters are Philo and Vignette, and this story that takes place with Imogen is kind of like secondary to the main plot. But it was really one of the more compelling storylines, I thought, because I agree with you. You know, that in a way, like in a lot of ways, it's kind of like that was what I saw that coming from a mile away. You know what I mean? Like her story, like I knew right from the very beginning that she was going to end up falling in love with Puck. You know, I can't remember his name. Because, and you know why? Because that's the one you don't, it's like the total opposite of what you think is going to happen. So it's exactly what you know
See,
is going to happen.
See, I didn't.
Because that's the way yeah. stories are written.
I thought she did. I was watching her and I was so like angry at her. I wasn't thinking, and that's why I think one of the reasons why I enjoyed this show so much is that I got so wrapped up in it that I wasn't thinking ahead yeah. and where is this story going to go? Because to be honest with you, it's like a shell game because there's so many different stories going that you don't know what's
right.
leading to what, and the way it all wraps up in, I mean, this is a season to itself that is very entertaining. But there's going to be so much more. But this story arc, all
yes.
three stories, I kind of think it's three stories, right? That come in all together at
yeah,
the very end.
Yeah, because you could talk about the brother and sister
yeah,
there.
But that and that story is intersected with Vignette and Philo.
Right.
And then you find out at the end that she's the one, that the sister there, is the one that has orchestrated everything.
Yeah, she's like the
yeah,
kingpin.
Yeah, she really is.
You
and
know?
She's really smart.
Yeah.
Like, how she got that way is pretty amazing, too. Just being, like, a fly on a wall. You know, just taking in
yep.
all the information. I don't know where to start and where to finish on this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We should have been better with names. Like, I feel like we're just saying the guy and this guy and that guy. It's like, we need to talk about the names of everybody. Like, I don't remember what Puck's name was. Like, what the guy's name was. Cause like, as much as I like the show, it's like, I couldn't remember anybody's
well,
name.
It is. Yeah. The names in this show are tough.
Yeah.
What story do you want to start with then?
Well, like I said, you had like three, I think there was three main storylines that were all happening. You know, you had the main story, which obviously is, you know, Philo and Vignette.
Yeah. That's the beginning.
You know, and they're the kind of the drivers of the show. But then you have the story with Imogen and Agraeus, which is the one we were just kind of talking about. And then the other main story is like the Breakspear family. You know, you had the mother who, you know, plays a pretty big role in,
well,
in how
this, Jonah's been
in this
kidnapped
whole story. Right.
By
and
his mom.
Jonah, right. Who was kidnapped by his mom. And then, you know, we find out later his sister, Sophie, you know, is also plays a big part.
But
in,
they
in
come
that,
in
so
that story
they kind of come in mid season
yeah.
towards the end. You know, when you first meet Jonah, you know, he was kidnapped by his mom. You don't really know what's going on there. It's just kind of like a dangling story for a little while,
right?
you know.
And that's why I said, like, you really got to let this show work itself out.
Yeah.
Because
that ends up becoming very important, actually.
Yeah. They yeah. all, they're, well, I honestly, what, I don't know if, like, the Imogen and Agrius story is as important.
Well, it's not.
But it, I loved right. the story.
It's not integral to the plot of the season. But yes, but yeah. it is a great story. You know, like I said, that's, I kind of saw that one coming. But I'm still happy with the way it ended,
like at the end of the season with the two of them kind of yeah. on the ship setting, you know, setting out to, you know, find a new world basically yeah. because, you know, they're not wanted where they are.
Okay. Actually, I just thought of a way that is integral to the story in that it's showing that story, the Imogen and Agrius story is showing the different classes and basically giving you a description of the culture of this city, all the while, and that's helping to explain why everything, why the other two stories are going
yeah.
on. Do you see what I mean? So it's like, instead of just showing you like, oh, this city has like their cultural biases, we're going to show you a story here that's going to play into that. And then, you know, and watch it develop and watch somebody change, right. You know, much like Rocky.
Well, and there's actually
Rocky
like IV. A kind of like a fourth storyline that's happening because you have the whole mystery that underlines the whole show. Like people are being killed and you don't really know, like they seem unrelated at first.
Right.
You know, there's a bunch of
yeah,
deaths that are happening.
That's a good point. Yep.
And then, you know, that all starts to get tied, you know, as the series goes on, that all gets tied together too. And, you know, obviously you find out that those killings are not random. That they're all connected to Philo.
Yeah, you find that out in like what?
Yeah,
six,
like
seven?
Almost at the end of the season. You yeah. know, that all the people that were killed had a connection to Philo to the point where he was even framed for the murders. You know, they,
right.
You know,
well,
they really started.
Yeah, he wasn't
well,
framed, but they just.
No,
they,
not framed, but they started looking right. at him like.
Right.
Because
they
he was the connection.
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah, they made him the principal. You know,
suspect
because
right.
he was, you know, it's like, well, right. they all have to do with you.
You know, the common denominator is usually the winner.
Yeah. Oh, and then you have Philo, that whole thing happened because Philo confided in that woman that he was staying
right.
with. Who thought he had a relationship with her. And then what's funny is, so this gets back to that whole Imogen Agrius storyline. He thought he might have had that with her, with that woman.
Right.
And then she turned on him like the rest of the city would.
Yeah.
Because he's not like them. He was a fae. Right.
Now, that's another thing that I don't know when, how early you figured that out, but
I figured that out fairly
pretty
early.
Yeah, I figured yeah. that out pretty early on. As soon as you see the scar on his back,
yeah.
and I was like, oh, okay, he was a fae. Like by episode two or three, I had
yeah,
that.
I figured it out before then because at that point, like kind of like how you figured out the Imogen story.
Yeah.
I didn't because I was I was so engrossed by then. But early on, I wasn't as engrossed in episode one. And I was like, right. well, they got to have a story here somewhere. So yeah. I'm kind of figuring why is he a main character? What is he? And I'm like, he's got to be like a fae or something.
Yeah.
And obviously, he turns out to be. There were points where I thought he was going to grow his wings back. I thought like he was going to get angry and bust his wings out or something.
I didn't think that. Yeah.
Like
I didn't
Lucifer.
Think that. Yeah. yeah. I didn't think that. But yeah, I figured that out fairly early on too. I don't think that was much of a mystery. You know, yeah. So he confides in his, landlady that he's having a relationship with. And yeah, she spurns him.
Yeah.
She, right away. And what was funny about that is like, she wasn't necessarily like, she wasn't poverty level, you know, obviously she owned the row house or whatever and had tenants, but she wasn't the upper crust either. You
right.
know, she wasn't like, she didn't work in the circles that Imogen and Ezra worked in. So it was, I was taken aback a little bit that she reacted that way to him.
Yeah, but, and that's why I think that the Imogen story is a good barometer for this stuff because that just shows the, you know, prejudice that the people have in this town
right.
and that towards anybody that's not like them. And they're scared.
Right.
I mean, you see it and it's like, you know, they're afraid of what they don't know. But the, you know, the worst part is they don't want to know.
What I wonder is if the humans have such a disdain for basically the magical creatures. Why were they helping them in the war in the first place? Like, I don't understand why they were allies.
Yeah, we don't know that.
In that war, if they have such negative feelings for them, you know, you would think they fought side by side in the war.
I think it was a matter of convenience. I know one of your favorite words, but I think it was, you know, and I don't mean it in the way that you've been using
right.
it. I mean it like, it's like you're, you know, my enemy or whatever.
I would say,
whatever
I guess the
is.
Enemy of my enemy. I guess
something like that.
I guess the threat was big
yeah.
enough that they felt like,
cause you
they
saw
would
that.
Side,
yeah.
Yeah.
You
they
saw
would
that
side
in episode
with these guys.
Three.
Yeah.
Episode 3 was the flashback on how Vignette and Philo met.
Right.
You saw that, and it's like, they didn't even want to be to that, what was that, like a fort? That,
right.
where Vignette was living.
Yeah, it was a sacred place to the Fae.
Yeah.
And they, you know, the humans commandeered it for the war effort.
Right. So neither of them wanted to be there. That was a pretty cool scene too.
It
when
was.
They commandeered it, and Nick, I don't know about you, but like, oh, and this was another thing, you know, nerd out for a sec. That sounded incredible.
Yeah.
In the theater with all the Fae flying overhead.
Yeah.
And you didn't know they were up there, but you heard the buzz. And then when they looked up, you were like, oh, wow.
Oh, well, I'll have to listen again now because I didn't have my full setup when
yeah,
I watched
Yeah, you
that.
Didn't have the full setup that you have, but it and we've bashed Amazon in the past. For
yes.
their soundtracks, and this one was excellent. It was.
Is that the one? I think I just told you that too.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah,
you
I was
said
like
that, and it was like, it was really well done. There was so much stuff going
yeah.
on in the backgrounds. There was.
Yeah,
stuff
I remember
going
telling you that
because
we had just bashed the boys for
yeah.
for having bad
well,
soundtrack.
Well, that was one of the things that got me going on it, as you had said, like, oh, we've got to give this one its credit, and you had said that it
yeah.
sounded really good, so.
Yeah.
I watched every episode in the theater.
That was before I even had upgraded, you know,
right.
to my new setup, so.
It is definitely worth watching every episode on a good system, if you can.
The thing that I guess they didn't, and maybe this is gonna come later on, but, like, there weren't, like, you didn't hear again about the enemy that they were fighting.
No. No, that's I was going to bring that up too.
And then even season 2 doesn't seem like it's set up to deal with that, because season 2 is really set up to be, you know, like the city, like the humans kind of trying to retake. But yeah, you don't really hear from that enemy again.
No.
After know, I guess the war is over. You don't even know that the war is over. You just know that the humans pulled out and left the Fae to finish the war. Because I think it says that in the setup at
the
beginning.
Well, they abandoned
the
city because it was
right.
going to get overrun.
Right.
So they bailed.
They bailed.
Thinking, and so did the Fae.
Right.
I'm sure, because they got out.
Well, but not all of them.
Not all
of them.
You
know, because
that was
the setup
too.
At the beginning.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, Vignette had stayed behind to try to help everybody get out.
Right. Well, she got out, but she thought Philo didn't, because Philo wanted, remember, Philo had faked his death to her.
Right. Right, and that's kind of where, not to spoil it, but that's kind of where the comic
book
picks
spoilers.
Up. Well, but that's where the comic
oh, yeah.
book picks up. Is it kind of tells that story almost from that point where.
Oh, okay.
Like, she learns that Philo died, and it's like the interim of how she starts helping people to get off,
right.
you know, to get off the island. Or the home, whatever it is.
Yeah, cause this whole thing starts off.
What's it called? Turnanok? I think that's what it was called. Their homeland. So, that was the homeland for the Fae. And that's where they were trying to escape from. But yeah, you don't know what happens to the ones that get left behind. And like I said, you don't really hear more from the enemy that they were dealing with.
Yeah, it starts off, like, this entire show starts off in, like, jumping right into the middle of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no build up. There's no, you just come right in episode 1. And that's what makes it so, like, confusing at the beginning. You're not really sure what's going on.
Right.
And then they do that flashback in episode 3 to give you some background. That confusion, I think, plays into the entire season. Because as you start to get pieces, it makes it more enjoyable.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, and as you get into episodes 5 and 6 and you start to see, you see the growth of the relation, or the growth of Imogen.
Right.
How she starts to change. That's fun to see. Then you see the story arc pieces are coming together on the whole, you know, Philo investigation of what's going on, and then starting to get the feeling that it has something to do with him.
Right.
Oh, you know what, one thing, my mind just jumped to this. Did you notice what the little play they did? Not play, but, what do you call it? So they use the term, praise the martyr, right? Uh-huh. And that would be a term that we would use for, like, if you were going to say, like, praise Jesus, praise the Lord, right? They were saying praise the martyr. Did you notice what the martyr was?
No, I didn't.
It was a guy hanging. Do you remember when he went into the old, where he was raised, the orphanage?
Yeah.
And they had some flashback scenes of him kneeling and praying. But when he first walked in, he looked up on the side and there was a statue of a guy hanging on the wall. Like, literally had been hung.
Yeah.
Hanged, whatever.
Yeah.
So basically it was a play on the crucifix.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, you know, Catholics, I'm Catholic, we worship Jesus on a cross,
right.
Which is a gruesome act to crucify somebody, right?
Right.
Well, in this, it's striking. You see, like, and you want to, and I'm Catholic, so you want to look at it and go, why are they worshiping a guy that's hanging?
Right.
Or had been hung.
Right.
And he's literally hanging. He's in the, it's, they've got, and they even have like a little cross that he's hanging off of. And the rope coming down around his neck, and he's just hanging there dead.
I didn't even know. That all went right over my head. I didn't notice any of that.
Yeah, and I saw it, and I was like, at first I was like, oh, that's, and I literally couldn't finish the sentence in my head. I was like, that's what we do.
Right.
You know? And it was like that play on that of, that's the words I was looking for, that play on that, where it's like, we worship a crucifix, and they called it
but
the martyr.
There's just the martyr.
Yeah.
Which, again, is what, you know. Jesus was the martyr for.
Yes.
So, yeah, I didn't catch any of that, to be honest with you, but I see, you know, I definitely see the similarities there.
What was the name of that, that creature that we didn't even know much about it?
The Golem, the Dark Asher.
Okay. Yeah. The Dark Asher. That's the thing that was going around killing people, gutting them, taking their. At first, it just looked like it was gutting people, and then you found out it was taking the liver.
Right.
And
because,
go ahead.
What was the piety, the mother, could read the livers.
Did we know that early on? I thought we
No, we didn't.
Okay, yeah.
We didn't know why it was taking the livers, at first. We just knew that it was.
Right.
But we find out later from, circumstance that,
You did figure out as it was going that as it got each victim, it learned more. So it was learning through the livers. You just didn't know exactly how.
Right. It was basically pointing them to the next. It was like a victim chain.
Yeah.
You know, each one, like the livers were telling the story. We just didn't know at the time what that story was and how it was all connecting. But yes, you find out that, piety is really the, she controls the Dark Asher. She's like a,
it's part of, well, you know where the link is on that? I'm wondering if the Dark Asher was made the same way. Remember, who was it? Was it Philo that had that creature made from him? Remember the witch took his, quote unquote essence? Was that him?
It's when he first went and met the witch.
So Philo went to see that witch. She puts that, like, that potion in that, like, to make the smoke. And then it brings him to, like, he's, you know, Philo's imagining he's with Vignette. He wakes up and he's got, like, a towel in his pants. And she's mixing some kind of a white substance.
Right.
Remember? And then he's like, what the hell just happened? And he leaves. So that's why I'm saying that's where she.
Yeah. The priestess.
She got
tells
his
him,
essence.
Right. The priestess tells Philo that she thinks the creature is a Dark Asher. To prove it, right. Philo asks her to create a Dark Asher that will be bonded to him.
Right.
And she does that. Yeah.
So
basically she.
Right.
She takes the form of Vignette and
right.
sexually assaults him.
Yeah, and then, well, I don't think she takes the form. It's like in his mind, and he just, it's all a fantasy. I don't think, maybe she does, I don't know. But the point is, that's like foreshadowing what's going to happen later, because he comes back a few days later or whatever, and she shows him the Dark Asher on the table, and he's like,
right.
The thing's all upset. It's, you know, I actually felt bad for it. And he goes, put it out of its misery, and she cuts it twice. And then the thing keeps moving, and she goes, yeah, it won't die until you do.
Right.
And so...
It can't be killed while its master lives.
Right. You never hear about that again.
Right.
And then at the end, you find out it's... what's the mother's name?
Piety.
Piety. She's the one that she's connected to that Dark Asher.
Right. She's bonded to that Dark Asher. Yeah. So, right. Because at one point... It looks like Philo has killed it because he's trying to escape from it in the sewers, and he kind of drops the gate down on its head. And
yeah,
he thinks it's dead, but right, Piety's not dead, so obviously the Dark Asher comes back.
Right, and that was pretty cool.
Which was a little bit of a surprise. Yeah. We weren't really expecting that.
So you know what else is pretty cool? Now that you think of that, when the Dark Asher puts his head back on.
Yeah.
What does that tell you?
I don't know. What does it tell me?
Philo's still got his Dark Asher out there somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
The thing put itself back together. It's going to fine.
Right. It's still, obviously, right. You know it's still alive because Philo's still alive.
Right.
You just don't know where it is and what's going on with
it. But that's what I'm saying. It's like in episode 8, so many things. And that one I just figured out now. just dawned on me.
Me too, because you just said it. So.
But you know what I mean? It's like... And when that Dark Asher came back at him again, I didn't even figure any of that out.
No,
until
I didn't
she
either.
Controlled it, and just before Vignette kills her, that's where I was like, oh, you've got to kill her, you know, and you start putting it all together.
Yeah, which I feel like if we were smarter, we would have got all that earlier on when the witch told him.
Well, no, but I don't.
That it won't die until you
but
die.
But here's the thing is, I don't know if it's, we're not smart enough, and I'm sure a lot of people listening right now go, no, it's you guys, you're not smart enough. Right. I think it's also a case of there's so much going on in the story that you're remembering this, so you're, like I said.
Well, it's hard to pay attention to everything.
Right. The whole thing is, it's a giant shell game. Like, look over here, because this is what's going on over here. The show is just really, really well done. Really well done. I mean, the costumes, you could get into all that.
Well, yeah, the whole thing, even the whole setting, right? Because this is it's a fantasy, obviously it's a fantasy world with the fairies and the fauns and all that. But it takes place in, like, Victorian England, it looks like.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like your typical Lord of the Rings setting.
Right.
Where you normally see these characters. So the whole... The whole setup of this show, from the set design and the costuming and all that stuff is very, very good quality. Like, it's very well done.
Yeah. No, it is very well done. I mean, there's so much else we could say, but I don't know how much else we can go on.
I don't know. Like I said, I don't know what else to say about it. It was just really well worth the watch.
What do you say we wrap it up here? Because this is going to turn out to be a masterpiece to put together.
Right.
If you're even still there listening to me.
Yeah.
All right. Let's wrap it up then.
Yeah.
All right. If you've enjoyed this show, hit us up on Twitter. Hit us up on Twitter at @thebrightside_chat. You can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. And send us those voicemails. Those are fun to get.
Yeah.
And rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes, because we could use those. I don't know if I'd say this episode's a good barometer of our quality. We're doing our best.
I didn't even know. That all went right over my head. I didn't notice any of that, really.
Well, of course you didn't, John. That's how the magic works.
Yeah.
And we will be back on Thursday morning, hopefully with a smoother, more put-together podcast. We can only hope. Say, take care, John.
Take care.
Hey, Fred.
Hey, guys. So we had a little bit of trouble ending this show. We had some technical difficulties, quite a few of them again this week. And I just wanted to kind of put it out there that was all DJ's fault. No, seriously. It really was all DJ's fault. Whatever the case, I didn't want, DJ to have to end the show by himself. Quite frankly, I was afraid of what kind of words he would put into my mouth. So anyways, thanks everybody for listening. Hope y'all enjoyed our Carnival Row. The show was a bit choppy because we had several starts and stops. I'm sure DJ's worked his magic and put it all together seamlessly. So most everybody won't even realize that there was some issues. But in any case, thanks for listening. Hope you all have a great week, and we'll talk to you later. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. Thanks for listening.